This is KSTP Program Director Rob Sherwood. KSTP St. Paul, Minneapolis presents the 12 Hours of Christmas. In the next dozen hours, we'll present some special programming. Coming up right away is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and then The Prophet, followed by Tommy, The Hobbit, and Christmas music from the choir at St. Olaf. We hope you enjoy it, and Merry Christmas from KSTP.
Christmas is a time for sending holiday greetings to those we love and those who love us. KSTP's Christmas card to all of you was written over 100 years ago by Charles Dickens. Its message is as fresh and timely as a new fallen snow, the only true test of a literary classic. This, then, is our way of saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to one and all. The KSTP players bring you Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, produced and directed by KSTP's Rob Sherwood. Once there was a dreadful old man named Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, he was a squeezing, wrenching old, grasping, clutching old sinner. Scrooge had been in partnership for many years with Jacob Marley, so his firm was known as Scrooge and Marley. But Marley had been dead for 7 years. Yes, Marley was dead. Dead as a doornail. And old Scrooge lived alone and disliked everybody. He had a clerk in his office named Bob Cratchit. And he only paid the poor fellow, who had a wife and four children, a wage that scarcely fed them. The meager office that Cratchit sat in was like a cold, dismal little cell. When Cratchit stopped to warm his hands over the burnt-out coal, Scrooge looked up over his glasses and said,
"Cratchit, get on with your work!"
"Well, you see, sir, my fire is almost out, and my hands are numb. I need another bit of coal to keep warm, sir."
"How many times have I told you I won't have you burning up my coal as if it were rubbish?"
"Sir, I..."
"Back to your work."
"Yes, sir."
It was Christmas Eve, and into the office of Scrooge and Marley popped Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
"Ah, Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you."
"Bleh, humbug."
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that, I'm sure."
"I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough."
"Oh, come now. What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough."
"Bleh, humbug."
"Don't be cross, Uncle."
"What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools such as this? Well, what's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart."
"Oh, Uncle."
"Keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mind."
"But you don't keep it."
"Well, let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it ever has done you."
"Oh, Uncle, it's that special season when the world seems to stand still." "Uncle Ebenezer, can't you see? The children, they all laugh and sing. The people smile, the bells they ring. Yes, Christmas is my favorite time of year. Come on, Bob Cratchit, join in here. We cook a goose.
The tree we trim.
We go to church.
Sing a Christmas hymn.
Yes, Christmas is our favorite time of year. New fallen snow.
Lights shine bright.
Peace shines through
the brightest light.
Yes, Christmas is our favorite time of year. So, Uncle, though I'm getting old, I have no money, and I have no gold, still, Christmas is my favorite time of year."
"Good for you, lad."
"Another word out of you, Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your job. And as for you, Fred, there's just one word to describe your Christmas. H-U-M-B-U-G. Here's the word that describes it all for me. Children laugh, playing in the snow. Leave it up to me, and to work they go. Wasting all their time, this I know, cause it's humbug, lousy humbug. Spending money here and there. Waste their money on brand new things to wear. Thinking that roast goose will cure their ills. Their goose will be cooked when they get the bills. Thinking of this madness gives me the chills. Lousy humbug. Lousy humbug. So, Fred, I won't even grieve. If you would kindly leave. Good afternoon.
Oh, Uncle Scrooge, you've got it wrong. I know this song, so sing along. Christmas is my favorite time of year.
Yeah.
You fallen snow.
Nice
shine bright. Peace shines
your
through.
Hat.
The brightest
now
light.
Now please go, because Christmas is the biggest bore of all.
Ah, don't be like that, Uncle. Come dine with us tomorrow.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry with all my heart to find you so determined.
Good afternoon.
So Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Well, sir, it's...
It's what?
It's shutting up time, sir.
Yes.
And,
yes,
sir,
yes.
I was wondering if you would allow me the day off. That is, if it was convenient.
It's not convenient. And it's not fair. If I were not to pay you, you'd think yourself very ill-used, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
And yet you don't think me ill-used if I pay you a day's wages for no work.
But it's Christmas only once a year.
Blech, Christmas. Nothing but a poor excuse to pick a man's pocket every December the 25th. And you a clerk with a wife and a family and only 15 shillings a week, you talk about your Merry Christmas. Blech.
May I have tomorrow off, sir?
No, I suppose you must. But be here all earlier the next morning.
I will, sir. I will indeed, sir.
Oh, blech. Who could that be? This time of the night, I don't know. Shut up! What do you kids want?
Merry Christmas, sir!
Bah, humbug!
Would you like to make a Christmas donation? Tuppence for the poor?
The poor should be in jail!
What, sir?
Nothing. Anyway, what good would tuppence do the poor? They'd probably just spend it. Do you know what to do with money? I thought so. How about you there? I thought so. If you give your tuppence kindly with good cheer to the poor, soon those people kindly with good cheer will come back for more. So I will put my tuppence safely in the bank, gradually, trustingly, patiently, cautiously invested. To be specific, gradually, trustingly, patiently, cautiously invested in my bank. Now get out of here.
Scrooge was a moneylender. He was worse than that. Scrooge was a miserly moneylender. And he made his money by preying on the poor.
Christian second trust deeds. Bonds. Chattels. Mortgages. Thinking of foreclosure.
His favorite time of the day was when he counted his profits and locked them away in the huge safe, which covered one wall.
Four pence. 5 shillings, pounds, I love it. In the evening, my day's receipts. I take out all that golden treasure and stack it into piles so neat. I think of all those Christmas fools who spend their hard-earned pay. And Christmas Day, I just don't keep. They'll pay me the rent, or in the streets they'll sleep.
That evening, Scrooge left his dreary office and went home to his dismal chambers, once occupied by his partner Marley. It was dark, and when he reached the house, he was amazed to notice that the knocker on the door was...
I could have sworn that was Marley's face in the knocker. Ah, oh, poo. Rubbish. Nothing to it.
So up the stairs he went as boldly as he could and entered his dark, gloomy room. Darkness was cheap, and so he liked it, the old miser. Inside his rooms, everything appeared as it should be.
Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, and nobody in the closet.
And nobody in his dressing gown, which was hanging in a suspicious attitude against the wall. Quite satisfied, he locked the door, took off his coat, put on his dressing jacket and his pointed nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his meager soup. As he sat looking at the low fire, he suddenly realized that every tile throughout the grate had on it a copy of old Marley's face, staring at him.
Humbug! Humbug! I don't believe it. It's rubbish.
Scrooge walked across the room. After several turns, he sat down again. He leaned his head back in the chair. There was an old bell high up in the room, and it began to ring, while a noise downstairs made him start.
What's that? Who's there? Who is it? Who is it?
Suddenly, right through the wall, and then, behold, inside the room, Scrooge saw before his very eyes...
Marley! What do you want with me?
Marley.
Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. Don't you believe
me? I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond your own senses?
No, because a little thing affects the senses. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You may be an undigested bit of beef or a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. No, mercy, dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
No, I do. I must, but why do spirits walk the earth, and why come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide and do good. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
Oh, please don't do that. You're shackled. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. Is its pattern strange to you?
Oh, Jacob. Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me.
I have nothing to give, Ebenezer Scrooge. In my life, my spirit never rose beyond the limits of our money-changing hole. and weary journeys lie before me. Hear me, my time is nearly gone.
I will. But don't be hard on me, Jacob.
I'm here tonight to warn you, you still have a chance of escaping my fate, Ebenezer.
Oh, you always were a good friend to me. Thank you.
Hear what I say. You will be haunted by three spirits.
Oh.
Without their visit, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third on the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more. And remember what I told you.
When the ghost vanished in the dark, bleak night, Scrooge denounced the whole thing.
I won't believe it. The whole business is rubbish. Humbug.
And he went to bed and was soon asleep. When Scrooge awoke, it was still dark. The chime of a neighboring church had just struck 12.
12 o'clock? Why, it was past 2 when I went to bed. That clock's wrong. An icicle must have gotten into its works. 12. It isn't possible I could have slept through the whole day and far into another night. It isn't possible that anything's happened to the sun and it's 12 noon.
He scrambled out of bed and groped his way to the window. All he could make out was that it was still very foggy and extremely cold. So back to bed he went and thought and thought and thought.
He said he'd be here when the bell tolled one. When the bell tolled one. Humbug! 1 o'clock. The hour itself and nothing else. I knew it.
Suddenly, a light flashed in the room, and the first of the promised spirit visitors stood before him.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
Well, what brings you here?
Your welfare.
Oh, I'm much obliged to you for keeping an old man from his sleep.
Hear me and rise and walk with me.
But I'm mortal, liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand. Now you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall of the room. The city had vanished in time. They stood upon an open country road with fields on either side.
Do you know where you are?
No, good heavens. I was raised in this place.
Well then, you remember the way.
I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange you have forgotten it for so many years.
Lead on, spirit. Lead on. I'll follow.
Come, do you see that schoolhouse? Do you remember?
Yes.
Of course you do. You see, the school is not quite deserted, even though it is Christmas Eve. A solitary boy sits there still. Do you know who that boy is?
KSTP St. Paul, presenting the 12 Hours of Christmas.
My forgotten self. Oh, I wish.
Wish what?
Nothing. It's too late.
Too late for what?
Nothing. Last night, two boys were singing a Christmas carol in my door. I should have liked to have given them something. That's all.
Come, let us see another Christmas.
The spirit led the way to many scenes that Scrooge had long forgotten. He was shown some happy Christmases of long ago, when he was a youth. And best of all, the spirit took him to the warehouse where he had been an apprentice. Scrooge peeked in, and when he saw an old gentleman in a white wig sitting at a high desk, he cried out.
Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart. It's old Fezziwig alive again. And there's Dick Wilkins. No, Dick was attached to me. Poor Dick. Dear Dick.
Oh, boys, Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas Eve, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up.
Quicker than you can say Jack Robinson, Mr. Fezziwig.
As good as done, sir.
The floor is swept and watered?
Yes, sir.
The lamps trimmed?
Yes, sir.
Fuel on the fire?
Yes, sir.
Then let's clear everything away and have lots of room. Hurry up, Dick. Come on, Ebenezer.
Yes, sir.
But Mr. Fezziwig, I don't feel much like a party, so maybe I'll just go sit in my room, okay?
Dick, did you hear that? Ebenezer doesn't want to come to the party. I'll hear nothing of it.
We must work our fingers to the very bone for 365 days. But half the pleasure of a job well done is fun. When your eyes start blinking and the stars are winking, that's the time to put away the work. Then your heart seems lighter and the night seems brighter for you.
There's no reason to be glooming when your flowers are blooming. Every care will disappear when you smile from ear to ear.
Ebenezer, don't be a penny squeezer. Put aside the work and join our happy crew. If you want to be happy, Ebenezer, it depends upon you.
There's no reason to be glooming when your flowers are blooming. Every care will disappear when you smile from ear to ear.
When the owls are thinking and the stars are winking,
in came a fiddler with a music book. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, all the young men and women employed in the business. In they all came, one after another. And so the jolly party went on until 11 o'clock, when they parted as happy can be.
Wasn't Fezziwig a silly man?
A silly man? He was a wonderful man. A fine fella.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Something, I think.
No. I'd just like to be able to say a word to my clerk, Bob Cratchit.
My time grows short. Quick, let's be off.
Now the spirit took him to another Christmas, when old Marley was lying at death's door.
No, spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight in torturing me?
One shadow more.
No more. I don't want to see it. Show me no more, spirit. Remove me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of things that had been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Remove me. I can't bear it. Take me back. Hunt me no longer. Take me back.
There's no telling what other sights of Christmas past the spirit would have shown him if Scrooge had not managed to get hold of the extinguisher which the spirit had been carrying. By pressing this down, Scrooge turned off the spirit like a snuffed candle. Then he reeled into bed and sank into a heavy sleep.
One o'clock. What's that? What's that ghostly light shining through the next room? Now shut it out.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
What? Huh?
Come in and know me better.
What do you want with me? And what have you done with my room here? This is my room, isn't it? But it's undergone a strange transformation. This holly and mistletoe. What does it mean, and who are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Come closer, hear me out.
Spirit, conduct me as you will. If you have something to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe.
Well, gladly.
Now what do you see?
I see bright colored lights, gaiety, children on sleds, playing in the snow.
Do you see the house over there?
The one with the Christmas wreath on the door? Of course. It's the humble home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit.
There he is now. He's carrying Tiny Tim, his little son. See the boy's little crutch and his helpless limbs? How tenderly his father holds him. Let's go closer.
Hello, my dear.
Let's all sit down to our Christmas feast.
What with the meagerly wage old Scrooge pays you, we haven't much. Not even any wine. I wish wishes and Christmas, they go together. At Christmas, my children and you. But I'm happy, are you happy too? If you are, then my wish has come true. There's not much on the table, but long as I'm able, it's love you'll be getting from me. And your gifts are easy to see. It's your love and our family.
We're together on Christmas. My family. So wishing's a big waste of time. What's riches or sparkling wine? I'm happy because you are mine. We'll be together at Christmas. That's why we say Christmas is our favorite day. Merry Christmas, my dear.
Merry Christmas.
God bless us, everyone.
That was Tiny Tim. See how close he sits to his father's side? And look, he's holding Tiny Tim's withered little hand in his. He fears of losing the boy.
Tell me, Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat, an unused crutch. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no. No, kind spirit, say he'll live. Say he'll live.
The spirit took him to many Christmases, showing him misery and want as well as happiness. The spirit vanished, and a new and different figure appeared. It came slowly and silently toward him. It was shrouded in a deep black garment, which left nothing of it visible except one outstretched hand. This was the third and last of his ghostly visitors. Scrooge braced himself and said,
Yes. I know! You're the ghost of Christmas yet to come, and I fear you more than any specter I've seen. But I know your purpose is to do me good, so I'm prepared to follow you. Lead on, Spirit. Lead on.
The phantom moved, and Scrooge followed. At length, the ghost of Christmas future brought him to a neglected gravestone.
What's this? These awful weeds. I can hardly see whose name is written on this crumbled stone. Why, the name is Ebenezer Scrooge. It's me. It's my name. No, spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I must have been. Good spirit, pity me. Assure me I may yet change the shadows you've shown me by an altered life. I'll honor Christmas in my heart, and I'll try to keep it all a year. Oh, tell me I may yet wipe off the writing on this terrible stone.
In his agony, he caught the spirit's hand, but the spirit's deathly ghost repulsed him. The Scrooge held up his hands in a final prayer to have his fate reversed. He saw an alteration in the phantom's shape. It began to shrink. It collapsed. And then...
This bedpost? Why, it's my own. This bed is my own bed, my very own. this room, my own room. Oh, bless it all. I'll leave the past, the present, and the future. I will. The spirits of all three shall be within me. No, Jacob Marley. Heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, oh, Jacob. On my knees. I just know I'm a new man. I feel as young as a spring lamb. The world looks happily, merrily, cheerily, kindly on me. Has Christmas come and gone when I was asleep? Oh, have I missed it? Is it gone forever? Hey, what day is today?
It's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits did it in one night. Now they've made everything right. And I'm eagerly, anxiously looking forward to life. Merry Christmas, world! Merry Christmas, everybody!
What's wrong with him?
Why, that's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Why is he so happy? Is he crazy? What's happened to Scrooge?
I've changed! Hello, my fine fella.
Hello!
Do you know that poultry shop on the next block? The one on the corner?
Indeed I do, sir.
Oh, an intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
The little one?
No, 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 no. Not the little one. The big one.
The one as big as me?
Ah, delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, my lad.
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Go and buy it.
Are you joking?
No, 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 no. I'm in earnest. Go and buy it and tell him to bring it here that I may give him directions and where to take it. Come back with the man or I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I'll give you 20 shillings.
I'll be back with it as quick as I can.
Look at him run. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's. He won't know who sent it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim it is. I'll send the poultry man with it in a cab. That way Cratchit will have it in time. Boy, I'm going to hie myself to my nephew's house. Will they be surprised to see me?
Dressed in his best, Scrooge at last got into the streets. People were pouring forth. Scrooge greeted everyone with a delightful smile and...
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
It was better than his word. He did it all and more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the good old city knew, or as any good old city in the good old world. He had no further experience with spirits, but lived a happy life ever after. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas